This is a production of Cornell University.
So I hereby call to order the fifth meeting of the Graduate and Professional Student Assembly at Cornell University for fall 2011. Today is October 31st, 2011, 5:31 p.m., Malad Hall, Fafa Auditorium. We'll begin. Here's the agenda. I think there are a few copies printed. We'll begin first with a roll call of the voting members. John Chechulevsky, absent. Crystal Wilson, absent. Brian Alkemeyer,
here.
Evan Cortens, here. Mia Tuto,
here.
Allison Nash,
here.
James Keach,
here.
Eric Smith,
here.
Steve Ahn,
here.
YJ Chen,
here.
Carl Furtenhoff, absent. Yevgeny Israelit,
here.
Kyle Albert,
here.
Nicole Baran,
here.
Marquise Hawkins,
here.
Rebecca Robbins,
here.
Andrew Elliott, absent. Randa Adra, absent. Michelle White, absent. Thank you very much. A very quick point of business. Next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for October 17th, 2011, circulated Friday via email. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Brian?
In the first section,
attendance was done by roll call. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the amendment is accepted. YJ?
There are two things in my update. 3.6. We meet bi-weekly on Thursday at 7 p.m. And then the mixer was in the big red bar.
Is there any objection to the amendments? Seeing none, the minutes are so corrected. Are there any further corrections to the minutes from October 17th? Seeing none, is there any objection to the approval of the minutes from October 17th? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. We move now into new business. Before point one on your agenda, we have a quick piece of housekeeping to take care of. Bylaws, Section 405, the GPSA bylaws, say that additional meetings may be scheduled at least 1 week in advance by the Executive Committee with written approval from at least two-thirds of the voting members. And B, only one additional meeting may be called per semester. It is the opinion of this Executive Committee, the Appropriations Committee, the Appropriations Chair, that in order that we not all pull our hair out, Allison, I know, has an excess supply of hair tonight, but the rest of us might be troubled by that we definitely need to have an additional meeting on Monday, November 21st. This should come as no surprise to anybody. This has been listed as a possible additional meeting since the schedule was posted in July-ish. But nevertheless, we have to satisfy the requirement in our bylaws that two-thirds of the members are in favor of it. That is 13 people. There are 19 members.
Yeah.
I did the math because you round up. 13 people. Let me check first to make sure we have 13 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 plus Crystal. Excellent. Wonderful. Those in favor of the resolution as stated, that the GPSA will meet on Monday, November 21st from 5:30 to 7 in Malad Hall's Bach Auditorium for an additional meeting for the purpose of discussion and ratification of the graduate and professional student activity fee. Is there a discussion on the resolution? That's right. So we'll meet 3 weeks in a row. Just to give you a little bit of background, for those of you that haven't glanced at the activity fee ratification timeline, we are required by charter to have this ratified by the end of classes. So that means it needs to be finished by November 28th, our final meeting. Half an hour at November 28th will be taken up by a visit from President Scorton and Susan Murphy. So I think that it makes sense to make sure that discussion doesn't need to be stifled. I don't want to be in a position where I have to cut you off after speaking for 10 seconds so that we can get everything in, that we really do need this additional meeting. The meeting on November 28th, again, as I said in the timeline document, will go until the activity fee is ratified. So unless you would like to be here until 9 p.m. the following week, it makes a lot of sense to put in an additional meeting and make our lives all a lot easier. Further discussion on the resolution? Is there any objection to a vote on the resolution? Seeing none, those in favor, please raise your placards, green placards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Who isn't voting yet? Kyle? No, but we have an additional person in the room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Marquise?
Yep.
Then the motion fails.
You can vote for it.
I can, but then we'll have 12. We need 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can. Is there an objection to reconsideration of the question? Seeing none, would those in favor of the resolution please raise your placards? The alternative, remember, is being here until at least 9 p.m. the following week. You can vote in favor of it even if you can't attend the meeting. Andrew.
Yes.
Motion passes. 13-0. Next on the agenda is the Appropriations Committee's presentation of the recommendations.
Yep.
All right, good evening. My name is Chris Heckman. I'm the chair of the Appropriations Committee. Over the past month or so, the committee has been meeting with all the groups that have applied for byline funding. That is money that comes directly from your activity fee, the $76 you pay a year, and goes to these groups. And so I'm kind of sick right now. I'm not going to give the entire presentation. Everyone will be giving some of the presentation, but tonight we want to unveil the recommendations that we're making. So if you read your email on Friday, you all got this long PDF document. Inside of it, there are lists of each group that applied for byline funding, how much they asked for, and then how much we're recommending we give them with some analysis associated with it. I didn't get any questions or anything over email from it, but I'm sure that there's going to be a very fruitful discussion that comes from it. So with that, we're going to begin. Oh, but I want to introduce our committee members. I apologize for that. So please introduce yourself.
Mike Walsh, Biological and Environmental Engineering.
Bill Freiser, Horticulture.
Chris Mansfield, Civil Environmental Engineering.
I'm Chris Eckman. I'm from Theoretical and Applied Mechanics.
Edward Strong, Genetics and Development.
And Crystal Wilson.
So some more about the members of our committee are listed in this if you want to read about it. Some historical perspective on the student activity fee. Well, in 1948, it was first created. It replaced some memberships, or basically it was predated by, or?
A number of club dues.
Yeah, there were club dues and everything, but essentially this was set up so that, and there's a little quote that's in the report, it was set up to just basically add to the life at Cornell, being able to fund groups directly and give to student groups in particular. Now, there are some groups that are not student groups that are getting this money, and we justify why they should continue getting funding. The first groups that got money through the initial student activity fee were things like the Big Red Band, the Cornell United Religious Work, Faith Club, etc. And at the time, 80% of the students were in support of the fee by referendum of the student body. However, the current fee structure and everything has been in place since 1986. If you look at the report, then it's clear that at the graduate level, the fee has grown linearly. That is, in comparison with the undergraduate level, it's grown a little bit faster than linearly. Our committee feels comfortable with growing at a linear pace. So, next slide, please. This is a graph of the current student activity fee. It started all the way around $15 in 1986, and as you can see, in 2010, it was $76. The linear regression line has R squared of 0.98. That's supposed to indicate that it's very strongly linear. Okay. One last comment. It has grown quicker in some years than others. Usually that's because another group gets added. For instance, Cornell Cinema, Slope Day, etc. These groups have added themselves to the mix, and when that happens, we generally see a slightly faster increase in the student activity fee growth. Next slide. Our committee had some goals when it was attempting to work out what the student activity fee recommendation would be. That is this recommendation right here. We wanted to basically aim at the inflation level. If we just accounted for inflation at the $76, it would have grown by $4, and we would be at an $80 recommendation. At the same time, we also wanted to target a way to increase the utility of the student activity fee. A new group did apply for student activity fee funding this year. That is the Graduate Professional Students Programming Board, formerly known as the Events Committee. So in doing so, they have asked for a larger budget, and we are inclined to give them that because of the previous work they've done and then gauging this kind of ideas they presented to our committee for future work. So I guess next slide, please. But that was just for the regular number, the $81, $80, whatever the student activity fee will grow to. At the same time, we had micro-scale goals with each group. We had to analyze each group's request and then decide how much money we are going to give based on meetings with them, applications that we've read over, some applications in excess of hundreds of pages because budgets were long, etc. And then also polling anecdotally the people that are at each meeting, as well as a survey that was not anecdotal but actually quite statistical, saying how much these services were used. In doing so, we had to analyze each group and decide whether their application met the level of funding that they had been asking for. So we considered the utility of each group to the graduate and professional students. We met with the groups individually and reviewed survey results. The summary of the process as it stands: there are 12 applicants for byline funding, one new one, and the GPSAFC. The GPSAFC funds clubs. That money is given directly to student organizations on campus. And it's required that they are at 35% of the total funding, at least of byline funding. So that means that if it's going to be $81 for a student activity fee, that means 35% of that needs to go directly back into clubs. Clubs like, you know, your graduate field organizations, et cetera. There were 8 requested increases. We recommend that 7 of them are fully granted, or 7 of them are granted and 5 of them fully. One group was decreased, the GPSA, because the events committee spun off into the GPSBB, so the GPSA's budgeted amount we recommend be decreased. And the final allocation is a 6.6% increase going to $81, and that is only a little bit more than inflation over the past few years. That's not, I mean, we looked up data from how inflation has been over the past 2 years, and that's how we came to that inflation number. Okay. So this is the macro scale of it, and there's actually a printout of this in the handout. So I recommend that you pick this up so that our discussion is fruitful when we break into groups later, smaller bit. But in this column, just going over what that handout looks like, you have the current amount of funding that they get. This is what their funding would be right now if they had just asked for increases due to inflation. You'll see that some groups didn't ask for increases regardless of inflation. For instance, Cornell Conscious Commission requested that they be capped at $5.75, even though inflation would tell us that they would probably go to $6.05. Of course, we're perfectly fine with them not asking for an increase. And over here is our committee's recommendation after taking into account all the factors that I previously mentioned. You'll notice the things in more the text in bold are places where we've granted increases either fully or to some limited extent. And then the red number is the GPSA's funding amount that they had recommended to us in the event that they paid for that the event committee got spun off. So since that happened, then we're looking at decreasing their funding, but it would not actually be a functional decrease. Okay, so next slide. And with this extra data point at 2012 right here, you'll see that that little dot pretty much is right on the line of what we were expecting. So it doesn't even affect really the previous slope of the line. And we feel really good about that. We feel like $81, if it is, you know, at pace with previous year's increases, then that's pretty much acceptable to us. Okay, next slide. So now we're going to go into each group and describe very briefly why we gave a recommendation.
So this was a pretty easy one. Cornell University Athletics. Again, I think this was discussed about 2 weeks ago when Athletics came and gave a brief presentation on what stuff they offer. This is solely focused on intercollegiate athletic events. I know there was some question on how this fee is related to gym memberships and all that. It's not. It's only for access to intercollegiate varsity level athletic events. And what this the fee actually pays for is admission to all MCA teams, sporting events here at Cornell. So basketball, wrestling, football, soccer. Men's ice hockey on the other hand, we still charge tickets for. We get a 5% subsidy per ticket with that. And that's again also paid for by the $7 contribution. Pretty easy. They weren't asking for much of an increase, or they weren't asking for an increase at all, staying at $7. We found that basically the resource was being well used by the graduate students. We did want to see a lot more graduate professional students' involvement in athletics, more students going to games, events, and we think there are a number of opportunities for athletics and organizations like the Big Red Barn and the GPFPB to work together to do stuff like tailgating or certain grad nights at games. But we see a lot of good use out of this, and that's the reason to keep that $7.
All right, Big Red Bar is one of the 12 organizations asking for an increase from $7 to $8 per student. As most of you know, they provide a centralized location for all graduate and professional students to gather and interact in a social cultural exchange. They're requesting this increase mainly because the graduate school has completely stopped funding Big Red Barn. So just a few years back, they were receiving $11,000 a year from the graduate school, and as of the next funding cycle, that has been cut to zero. And so raising the increase to $18 to $8 a student will help to counteract that loss. Our survey found that it's one of the highest attended grad professional student activities, with TGIF being their primary event. And the Big Red Barn is actually on a very tight budget, receiving all of their funding from the GPSA activity fee and from rental applications for the Big Red Barn. And a very, very small amount of beer sales, actually, a dollar a beer. And so their budget is very, very tight. They depend on rental revenue to really, and GPSA funding to be sustainable economically. And if they don't get $8 per student next year and next year to come, they are going to have to cut staffing and likely program events.
So this one was I think the most challenging group for the committee to look at. Because it's currently set at 1105, it is the highest funded group in the GPSA activity fee. Cornell Simmons requested about a 45-cent increase up to $11.50, primarily to offset a lot of grant losses from the New York State Council on the Arts. We took a look at it, and the GPSA and F already subsidizes the operations of Cornell Simmons significantly. They also gained some revenue, but not as much through ticket sales, as well as through department funding, through the Department of Theater, Arts, and Dance at Cornell. It has pursued a number of other revenue sources, such as donations from alumni, but with limited results. They still think that there is potential growth in this area, and it's not an area that we would like to see them pursue a little bit more. If you look at a lot of communities, community art meeting organizations, they tend to focus a lot of their efforts on fundraising directly from annual giving. And the committee looked at this, and one of the big red flags to us was the basically $6 to $10 per ticket subsidy. And we basically looked at a range of things. We were given a range of numbers in terms of attendance, and we took our current contribution and basically found that per admitted, per graduate professional student admitted, which costs the user $4. The GPSA activity fee was basically providing $6 to $10 subsidies, and this was a big concern for us. We did see that there was, potential to increase revenue from ticket sales, which are currently at $4 and have been for a long time. And there is some opposition to increasing it, but we see that as probably a lot more suitable avenue for dealing with this revenue shortfall and increase funding for the graduate professional student activity.
Anything else?
Cornell Cinemagic told us today that if we maintain the $11.05 increase, we would probably see an increase of the ticket price to about $4.50. The committee was pretty much fine with it, feeling that this was the direction we wanted to take the programmatic the program of Cornell Cinemagic.
Okay, the Cornell Concert Commission, they did not ask for an increase this year. They select, promote, and produce three shows that come to Cornell, and they really help to bring national acts to a small student Ithaca. Some of the recent acts include Flaming Lips, Phoenix, Lupe Fiasco, and an upcoming Billy Joel concert. They also put on three shows every single year during Welcome Week in August. And the average subsidy per ticket is about $5. It goes across all students, both undergrad and graduate. A survey did indicate that only 13% of graduate professional students attended a Cornell Concert Commission show last fall, which would have been Super Smash Brothers, MIA, Phoenix, and Kid Cudi. They also have a graduate liaison to help select shows which they think would appeal to graduate and professional students. And then Cornell EMS, Emergency Medical Services, they are requesting a 3 cents per student increase. This is mainly due to increased cost of insurance premiums, which is about 10% annually, so greater than the amount that they're asking for an increase. This is coming from directly from the Cornell University Risk Management Team. And they also have increase in vehicle maintenance costs. They have a new vehicle. They also need to continue to update to meet their needs. So in order for them to satisfy these costs, this organization has gone through and cut anything that they thought was unnecessary in their budgets to try to minimize the impact on graduate professional students. And besides just medical services, they also provide free CPR and emergency defibrillator training, which anybody can use. I know they train the chemistry department every single year to make sure they're all safe with their first aid. And they also cover events, and usually they ask for a voluntary donation of $30. The group is against having a mandatory fee for their coverage because they are a nonprofit group, and they think $30 is the appropriate value.
So CUPB is the programming board for Cornell. So their mission is basically to bring the world to Cornell. So they're the ones that sponsor or co-sponsor a lot of speakers that come to Cornell, acts that come, things that we're bringing to the region and to our campus to satisfy this bring the world to Cornell. You see, they're not asking for an increase. They also haven't asked for an increase the past several funding cycles. So they're operating a very responsible finance system. Wasn't really one that was tremendously difficult for us. They bring, through co-sponsors and direct sponsorships, a broad breadth of speakers and acts to Cornell. And we saw that really broadly appeals to the graduate professional community. Our survey results, since there's so many events, and a lot of times you don't know that they're sponsoring an event that you're attending, Our survey results already show a high usage rate, even though it only asks about a few specific large events, and in fact, the survey probably underrepresents the use that this is the graduate and professional student.
So there is an addendum to be made here. In the report, it's correctly reported at the end of the report, but actually in the middle and where these numbers came from. This is 355, not 555, but it is the same activity at the end and everything. So it's just incorrectly reported on this slide.
My bad.
Yeah, no problem. So, anyway, okay, so we apologize for that.
All right, so Cornell University Graduate Professional Student Assembly, we originally were discussing defunding them completely. Why are we here? In all seriousness, this one and the Graduate Professional Student Programming Board were kind of interlinked due to a resolution that was passed last year that was spinning off the Events Committee into its own byline funded organization. So the full application for the GPSA stated that the initial request was $395 if the event committee was not spun off, but it would be decreased to $184 if the event committee became the GPS PB. So we felt comfortable with adding on the additional GPS PB to the byline funding application and considering them a byline funded group. So in that consideration, we decided to fund the GPSA at its maximum bottom level request of $184. And just moving forward, after this request is fulfilled, there's some considerations to for the GPSA's internal operations to just track the internal money a little bit better from each committee standpoint, and additionally to analyze with the switch in the structure of how the GPSA meets if there is a financial burden with keeping everyone in the same meeting together, and if in the 2014-2016 cycle the GPSA's request should be increased.
I.e. food increases might be at play here. So.
And then the GPSPB, a note on the logo. I don't think they've officially selected the logo as of yet, but this was one of their selection titles. Does not buy the people in the selection. I just pulled, I think that was the first one.
I think that's the one. There's multiple versions.
Okay. Then I was close. No, sure.
What do you guys spend your time on?
You didn't put any money into that.
So the GPSPB is one of the most unique organizations that is applying for byline funding in the respect that it is not only graduate student focused in the events that it's put on, but it's also graduate student run for the committee that's working behind this. So in the request allocation, we took that into consideration. They requested $250 for the 2012-2014 cycle. However, the committee decided that it would probably be more appropriate to set it at a $2 increase, due to the fact that when considered both the GPSA's and the GPSPB's request at the same time, it was an exorbitant amount that was going directly towards essentially a GPSA function, and also due to the risk of establishing a byline organization at the same time that the organization is coming online. So even though it was an event committee previously, there is no external evidence of how it will be operating in the 2012-2014 cycle, what kind of events program it will be putting on, and how it's going to be operating. Although the committee has full faith in what they will be doing, we decided that it might be good to have a two-year cycle in which it wasn't fully funded to see what they're able to do with this, and then when after all their successes come in, fund them at whatever request they will in 2014 request for.
If I may make one extra comment. Like I said at the beginning, there was always a trade-off between micro-scale and macro-scale goals. Micro-scale, we have faith in what the programming board is going to be doing and will be what has been doing. At the same time, you know, we don't want to increase the activity fee exorbitantly, and there are a lot of other groups that are applying for funding. So with each 50 cents that you give to someone else, you need to take it away from the group that potentially needs it there. So that's that was something to be considered. Thank you.
Okay, so the International Students Board is the next one that we looked at. They operate as a very unique organization in that they're an umbrella funding organization for all of the international and ethnic student organizations on campus, both graduate and undergraduate. Not only do they provide funding for these organizations, but they also provide resources to help these organizations plan and execute programming that they come to the board for co-sponsorship for. Previously, their funding was 146. They were asking for a 6% increase to 155, which our committee made a recommendation to fully do. Some of the reasons why, we looked at the utility that this organization gets out of the funding that we do give them. They are responsible for a lot of the international student organizations putting on programming around campus. Some of the reasons why they were asking for a programming or a funding increase had to do with the fact that they were only able to fund 46.3% of the requests that they had for the previous cycle. They are not only looking at more organizations applying for funding for co-sponsorship, but they're also looking at more of those organizations applying for larger co-sponsorship amounts. So they're looking at also raising their maximum amount that a group can ask for as far as co-sponsorship as well. We looked at the fact that of the 76 groups that asked for co-funding for the previous funding cycle, 20% of those organizations were graduate student organizations. And so with 35% of the graduate community being comprised of international students, we felt very confident that it serves the graduate student community well, and we felt comfortable with providing them with the 155 recommendation.
All right, one more comment on this one, if I may. So even though it says we mentioned 20% were graduate student organizations, many of those in the other 80% also have graduate students in them. They're just not listed as graduate student organizations. And they all, this group also puts on other programming that brings in both undergrads and grads, and simply by virtue of that there are two undergraduates for one graduate, it's somewhat seen as, you know, an undergraduate event. Like they mentioned, soccer, World Cup soccer match, in which there were teams that were fully only graduate students, but they called it an undergraduate event. So, okay. So the graduate and professional, or new graduate and professional student orientation, many of us attended this, and by the survey numbers that seems to be indicated. Those of you that did not, I don't know how you got your ID, but regardless, they actually are funded through us. And so 70 cents is what they've been running on before, and they asked for a dollar. The reason why they were asking for an increase was, as we saw it, for two reasons, primarily. The first one is that they have campus tours. They just started that last year. The campus tour guides, there are a few of them. There's one on our committee, and then there are a few out in the room, I'm sure. They are completely volunteer and everything, whereas the undergraduates, campus tour guides are paid to some extent, so they wanted to have a similar level of compensation for the tour guides if that should happen. And then another issue is that they wanted to have food at future orientations, to actually get more people to come out and stay during the events, thereby hold people around longer so that they could give them more information. Without food, that becomes very difficult. So even though compared to their current allocation, 30 cents is quite a bit more. However, considering what they do put on for the amount of money they get, then we see this as a strategic acquisition for the Appropriations Committee and for the GPSA. So we recommend that they are fully funded at their increased amount. The next group is actually not a student group. Like I mentioned, there are some groups that are not student groups that are getting funding regardless. This one you might not even know ever existed. At the same time, this is the club insurance policy. So if you are a member of a club and they do anything that is off campus or anything related to alcohol, they have alcohol at certain events, or maybe they go camping or something, then risk management provides insurance for that club, and protects the officers of the club in case they get sued by other members or anything like that. So actually, this policy is very broad based, and there are more details about it in the report that was sent out on Friday. But this is just a number that we can really negotiate. It was 5-10 before, and with increasing insurance policies, apparently they've been outpacing inflation to a very great degree. The current amount to buy this policy is $5.50. Without this policy, we would not be able to have graduate student clubs exist as they do today, as we see it. So because of it, they could be uninsured, I guess, but I don't think they would be official club in that circumstance. Without it, this would be, you know, this is basically a non-option. We need to buy it. But if there are more questions about it, then like I said, there are a lot of details in the report that I issued.
Okay. So this one is another one of the groups that we spent a considerable amount of time and effort looking, discussing, speaking with them, and seeing in different perspectives. A little bit of history here. This is the most recent group that is currently Byline funded that has been recently added to Byline funding. So 2 years ago was the first time they became a Byline funded group. Prior to that, and the recent history prior to that, is UPSA gave them a small chunk of money to help support their costs, and before that there was no support to support it. That's important for when you'll see part of our justification for the amount we recommend. Another thing that's happened is they used to receive money directly from the university to help defray some of their costs. They no longer see that money. So this is now a completely student-funded event, either from ticket sales or from activity fees from grads and undergrads. And it's obviously an expensive event. So this was great because our survey results helped inform this a lot. So they're currently receiving just over $3. They've requested $6. We're recommending that they receive $3.50. So we're recommending an increase here, but less than a full increase. So our survey results are really informative here. They show that indeed this is a highly utilized program. So about 25% of graduate professional students attended Slope Day. This is on par with a number of the other organizations, actually the bulk of all the other organizations we've seen. And the survey shows that of those who attended, about half of whom stayed an hour or longer. So they're not simply showing up, grabbing a turkey leg and eating it and leaving. They're actually staying for some period of time. However, one piece that's not up here is the survey also asks how important is this event to you. The vast bulk of respondents are basically indifferent to the importance of this event. However, the lean was slightly towards, yeah, I like this event. Those were really valuable in the committee helping to see what the utility of this was, and obviously we spoke with them. The goal of it is to break down social barriers, build tradition, and strengthen the community at Cornell, both for students, faculty, and staff. So a broad-based goal. And they do, since we started Byline funding them, they have a large board that helps determine the program for Slope Day every year. They have a subset that is the executive board. Because we Byline fund them, they keep a seat reserved for a GPSA appointee. So this was one of our requests when we started to Byline fund them. So we do very much have a voice, and everybody is able to join the programming board. However, the GPSA Finance Committee believes that the nearly $3 funding increase that they requested, so nearly doubling of their funding, outpaces the relationship that we currently have with Slope Day, and outpaces the value and the utility that we see currently and in the foreseeable future with Slope Day. And that's why we recommend the $3.50. We think that that's in line with the trajectory of where this event is going. It continues to build this relationship that we've been building so that we can make Slope Day something that's more attractive to graduate students. You can't change an event overnight, right? You can't make it something graduate students are really, really interested in overnight, but this allows us to continue moving towards that trajectory, which they have, as you heard last time. They have listened to graduate students. We have the seat. They've tried things like a premium beer option with programming. Last year, they brought Nelly, which they actually consciously knew was something that graduate students, older students, would be familiar with. So they really are thinking about us. So we think that this is a continual building relationship. Okay. We just don't think it's met the pace that they're requesting.
So I want to briefly mention as well, if I may, the number that they came up with, $6, was not out of the blue. I went through the math behind what they had, and they did it in front of us again as well. So there's this overarching parity argument related to the Slope Day admission. Now, it is possible, we don't know exactly whether this will happen or not, but we've been told on multiple occasions that if we do not fund them at $6, that we will have to pay for admissions to Slope Day. So this is a potentially murky subject, just like the Cornell Cinema, we see it, as well as one that, you know, we want to see if there's how people are feeling about these particular recommendations.
Although I would add that 2 years ago at a similar meeting of this, I think they chimed in, and this is actually in the minutes, and said $3.24 was their cutoff point. And we gave them $3.05 that year. There was still time for that.
Yeah, so we never know. I mean, you know, historically it's very difficult to make decisions on this sort of thing. But that's what you guys are for. So we made a recommendation. If you haven't read the report, then I strongly urge you to. There's a lot of justification as to why we got the numbers that we couldn't go over here today. And now, if we may, then we'd like to break this group up into a sort of town hall format.
You have one more slide.
Oh, yeah, great. So today, small group discussions. We're going to break this group, our group up into small groups. One of us will go into each of your groups, and then we want to discuss with you what these recommendations are, how you feel about them, you know, if you could change them, what would it be, and frankly, we're going to try to sell you on our plan. We put a lot of time into the recommendation, and we feel like that it's very strong in many of the strategic goals and tactical goals of this organization. Because of it, you know, we feel like we want this group to accept it, but at the same time, we're just a committee, and we don't represent everybody, and we want to hear your concerns and thoughts as well. So this is all leading up to November 14th, our next meeting, where we vote to approve the recommendations. Approve them there. But it might be that there's a no on the allocation, in which case there's a review process. Okay, and we have to go through that. If it's no at the next meeting, then this committee is going to review the no vote and reasons given for that no vote, and then try to jiggle the numbers around and then reach a secondary recommendation on the group. It may be that we get the no vote and then we say, well, that's just because we didn't explain it well enough to you guys, and then we get different justifications for the same number or whatever it is. But that's how that usually goes. It gets remanded to us, and then this is the best time to address concerns. So the turnaround time is within 2 weeks. We should be having a very fruitful discussion on the activity fee. And then on the 21st, the meeting that we just approved, how did we know that was going to happen? We have a second vote on the recommendation, if needed, and consideration of final fee as debatable resolution. So if it turns out that we can actually get to this step and we're feeling good about the recommendation that we've come up with and everything, then we'll pass it that night, and then the 28th we'll have no business associated with the student activity fee. Historically, though, this is a longer process. It doesn't need to be that way, but there are a lot of people that want money and a lot of good justifications as to why they are asking for it. So this process, you know, we don't want to rush it. So now we're going to break into small groups. Is that okay?
It says on the agenda by division, but I think you actually want six roughly equal groups, one per committee member.
Yeah, that'd be appropriate if we could do that. So I'm thinking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe.
I don't
know, anyone have a good idea how we could break this up?
Just do it.
Count off.
No.
No.
Okay,
Brandon
wants to flash back.
Yeah, okay, so all of our committee members are going to come around and then just grab some people and start talking to you. And be prepared to get up and move around a little bit, because this format doesn't really provide for a good conversation. We're coming back here about 20 minutes.
I'll give you a 5-minute warning. Thanks, guys.
Welcome back. Sorry to cut the discussion short. I wandered around a little and had a great discussion. Keep in mind, of course, that we have a mailing list and all the rest of it, so feel free to continue the discussion on the Facebook page on the mailing list. And then, of course, we have meetings coming up where we'll continue the discussion issues. Sorry for the strange format. The reason for this is that the Appropriations Committee wanted to caucus, be able to compile their presentation that they'll give to us under point six. So we're doing something we normally do first in the middle of the meeting, and that is the reports of officers and committee updates. From the Executive Committee, delegation is going to the Ivy Summit this weekend. We'll have a report for you at the next week, 14th. They've asked us to fill out a monster survey. While I'm not looking forward to filling it out for myself, I am looking forward to getting the data from the other 8 schools that participate in the Ivy Summit. Demographic data, funding data, programming data, all sorts of stuff. It's going to be very interesting. I don't have anything else. You guys have anything? Appropriations Committee. Sorry. Communications, Simon.
Yeah, not too much to report. I have like 4 of the committee
them, so they're helping a lot, and that's going pretty well. I just want to quickly apologize for not putting the Facebook post that I've been seeing on Friday, but on Sunday, it should come up on Friday.
So the next class is?
Yeah, so we're doing that every 2 weeks, and we kind of got out of phase with the meetings. Now we're going to do it on Fridays that are not meetings. So it'll be next Friday.
And the deadline is to make the same excuse?
Just anytime pretty much. Yeah, earlier is better, but we're not going to.
Any questions for Steve? They asked for 10 minutes. So we might not be able to give them 10 minutes, but are you sure there are no questions? Finance Commission, Nia.
Okay, we have our November meeting tomorrow night. We've only got 30K left in the pot of money, and we have a ton of applications. We're asking for a reasonable amount of money, so I asked that people, officers could get in contact with me if they want to come to our meeting, just because we're going to have limited time with everything we need to work out to speak to people. So, if there are any officers here, please come speak to me afterwards or shoot me an email tonight if you are wanting to come tomorrow. And if I haven't got back to you yet, sorry, I've been trying to have a look through the FTRs before I work out exactly who you really, really need to see. And yeah, you'll hear about those allocations later this week. That's all. Do you want me to improv for a bit?
Are there any questions for Mia? I want to make sure I fully scan the room. Save my time. No questions for Mia? Good. I do, Matt. See, I see Rebecca underway.
All right, so the main project for our teacher is to let the whole teacher and then question over a meal about mental health among the rest of the population. So one of the issues that is very central to wellness and mental health among the rest of the students is so this is just a brief little, I don't know if you know what I have on. If you don't know what the paper, you can just write the question down, and just track it about the but basically, the first question has to do with, or will basically quote in a question that you have regarding mental health and wellness among your faculty. So you could just write down one question. It could be anything from why or who went out to get your membership to,
Nerd Night is, Google Nerd Night with N-I-T-E,
of night selling. And if you want to stay in the loop about all our events, either like the CPSA Facebook page or friend Cornell CPS TV. We are a great one.
Thanks, Mark. Any questions? Jolien?
Yeah, boil me.
So what?
Boil, please.
No.
It went very well. There are lots of enthusiastic dairy zombies on the road. And thanks to board member Rachel Snyder, a postdoc honor Hall with Ithaca Impact everywhere for organizing it, and also all the volunteers who went from our board. So I don't know, there were no mishaps. Nobody's brain got eaten, sadly. Also, the bowling night last week was also a success, from what I've heard. And we had near 100 people at Cullen Newman. So we will probably have one next semester, too. So keep your eyes and ears open.
Thanks, Marty. I'll now recognize the Appropriations Committee to present the regulation topics and do Q&A for 17 minutes.
Hi again.
No, we did anything.
No.
All right, so thank you for that very helpful discussion when we were in the breakout sessions. We want to share some things that came up during the breakout sessions that were not mentioned at all groups and that we thought were important after we were meeting. But I want to also mention that for those of you that were, I mean, you were in your own group, but just to let you know, most of the breakout sessions we discovered centered on the topics of Cornell Cinema and Slow Day. Hopefully I was not the one that sort of directed us in that route, but we know that those are contentious issues. And so, if we can, let's start with the Slow Day discussion.
Okay, so for Slow Day, there was a question about if we set a funding level and they come back and say that we're going to charge you the ticket price, is there any recourse for the GPSA to take in order to not fund them at all at that point in time? The GPSA has a financial document called the GPSA Byline Criteria Funding Document, and it's basically a contract between us and any of the byline funding organizations. Especially if you read the athletics portion, that's probably the most cut and dry version of the contract, so they specifically spell out what they're going to give us in return for the byline funding amount requested being fully met or at the level that we give them. We can specifically say that it's at $350, $4, $5, whatever, we're going to provide this to you and you are going to give us an event that we have free admission to. And if they don't meet that requirement, then we don't actually have to fund them. It is something that we haven't done in the past. It would be a new technique and would require a lot of wrangling on the GPSA's part, but there are resources for us in order to not fund an organization that is not meeting the byline funding requirements.
Most likely how this would actually play out, though, is that we would have multiple in-depth discussions with the executive members of Slope Day to discuss with them, here's what we're capable of, here's what we can bend ourselves to, and will you guys still give us free admission? If not, what kind of price point are we putting admission at? And then would this group feel comfortable with that, et cetera? So things can get very murky very quickly, I think, on that discussion, but we're going to try to keep our heads above the water during it.
The good news is we've seen this happen three times before. I mean, for the past three funding cycles, the undergraduates have said, if you don't fund us this much, you know, we will kick you out. And every time, we, you know, did not meet their demands to the exact number. We try. We try to build a relationship. We try to work with them. I should just make it clear that there are different actors, you know, in this whole negotiation process. So they pretty much, you know, they want to involve. They want to involve graduate professional students here. But there are some other agents in the undergraduate student population who say, this is not fair. If you do this, we will kick you out. And they don't have explicit power to do that. There's some recourses potentially through the administration, but every year in the past, it's always been, you know, us, you know, GPSA and SLOPE working together to really start building a relationship, moving forward, trying to build more connections.
That said, threats can be taken seriously and should be. So, I mean, we don't give them the funding level and they're really bent on kicking us out of Slope Day for not funding them fully, then, you know, we have a debacle on our hands. But like I said, we want to deal with that discussion as it comes, and this discussion will be longer. There are a few questions. I know that there are questions, and we're going to get to that. I just want to make one more comment, and that's related to Cornell Cinema. So most of the committee members were very pleased with the fact that all of us think that Cornell Cinema is a boon to campus. It's a great thing to have. And many people actually expressed that they were willing to see ticket prices rise in replacement for pushing up the amount of funding that we're giving to Cornell Cinema. Even people that go to Cornell Cinema very often said that they'd be willing to pay up to $5 or so for a show, that it would not, that was from multiple different groups, and that would not dramatically affect their habits about going to Cornell Cinema. As a result, we feel like that we just wanted to share that with you, that we, you know, we want to keep going forward and making sure that we all feel comfortable with the price point we end up on. But that was just one fact to bring with you. Are there any other comments? Okay, so now with the approximately 14 minutes we have left, minus whatever for over the forum, we'd like to take questions. 13 minutes, Brian.
When you say that Slope Day could potentially kick grad students out if we didn't meet their demand for funding, do you mean that they would ban students, grad students entirely from the event, or just charge grad students?
They would almost certainly charge graduate students. We can't speak for them, by kicking this out, this is a loose and poor choice of words. We mean that they would start ticketing us. They would not kick us out. I want to make that very clear.
So, unofficial, I am the GPSA liaison on the Slope Day Tech Board,
yeah.
And an unofficial statement they made to me was they would reject our funding recommendation, not take any money from us, but charge us at the same level as they charge alumni, which I think is around $25.
That's what I'm told, $25.
Yeah. Well, this is an unofficial statement, but that's what their executive committee is saying.
So, also, to follow up on that, I've already gotten emails from members of the Slope Day Programming Board Executive Committee to try to talk with us about seeing where this conversation will go next, because obviously they wanted much more money than what we're recommending. What I've told them is that our recommendation is just a recommendation. This body can choose to completely ignore that recommendation, either go to $6 or drop the funding entirely. And both of those options were discussed as real options in the breakout sessions by different breakout groups. So as you can tell, this is a very contentious subject. But we want to, you know, we want to try to find a medium in place.
Can I add one thing? Slope Day is very contentious, very possible to be contentious. In past experiences, a number of us were part of those past experiences. It's not incredibly productive when it becomes so heated. And so just to reemphasize this idea of conversation that Chris thinks he's talking about, engaging with them, they, as far back as I can remember, have said that we're going to charge you full ticket prices. There's a lot of other players in these types of things that helps with the conversation to know that if they were to charge us ticket prices, it sort of violates their own charter of making this an inclusive event for all students, faculty, and staff to build it on Cornell. And there are people in the administration that will take notice of that. So this is a very nuanced argument. And having productive conversations that he will probably be best for the system. Hopefully we'll work that way.
If you have a question, just raise your hand, I'll get you down. There's in the branch.
Say we don't fund Slope Day. What are you going to do with the $3?
So I believe we've never had that sort of happen before, but we can't broker a deal when it comes to the contract or something. And it's actually not very well enunciated in any of our governing documents, but what I would imagine would happen is that the student activity fee would drop by $3 or whatever we decided to fund them at.
Actually, I think it would go to the GPSASD.
Oh, it would go to the GPSASD, which means more money for clubs, which certainly isn't a bad thing. Clubs are always asking for more money for everything, and we constantly have to tell them we can't get as much as they want. So.
Sorry, if I can follow up on that note. The chair of the FP. We're having, as I've mentioned, funding issues right now with, a lot of people wanting funding and only so much being available.
And some of the groups who are putting in really great applications are for concerts going on during the year, where, you know, there the concerts that have happened in the past, which have been well attended, or new ones, which they're anticipating are going to be well attended. And so this just, I think, links in with what we were just talking about. I don't know if you guys came in time to see the 70s paper thing, had read about grad student mental health and well-being. And I just personally, I don't know if anybody else feels this way at all, feel that things like, you know, concerts going on throughout the year, which the SC are funding, or, you know, trying to fund as much as possible, can really help with that sort of thing. And Float Day is something that happens, you know, once a year at the end of the year, which, you know, is obviously a great event and can benefit a lot of grad students, but it's just the amount of money that's being spent on it, because they have such a large budget, could just benefit so many events throughout the year, which, you know, had similar aims, which were trying to, you know, bring students together and entertain them and everything like that. And so I feel that, the money could perhaps be better used throughout, you know, a number of events throughout the year. You know, if they entertained reducing their budget a large amount, so we were only, you know, having to give them a small amount, and this wasn't causing them to say, you know, we're going to have to charge huge ticket prices, then, you know, I think that would be a great way out of this problem, but they're obviously not happy.
Yeah, so Float Day is, you know, they have the mandate over their own budget, and this is one of the things that was sort of implied by our recommendation, is that Float Day is outpacing the amount of money that we want to have go to Float Day to make it the event that we want it to be, right? Which means that there's a fundamental disconnect, I feel, between graduate professional students, what we see Float Day as, and what undergraduates see Float Day as, and what they're willing to fund that. This is the problem that we're running into primarily. I want, however, to mention that in the current plan, the FP is getting $3 more per student, simply by virtue of us increasing the student activity fee, they get more money because it needs to be at 35%. So this will hopefully continue to help out those groups that we get to the end. We really appreciate the work that the SEOs. We do believe that it's very necessary.
I really appreciate that. It's just, looking at how, you know, like you said, possibly the money if we didn't fund Float Day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
1 second. Could you wait just a second?
I just wanted to add that Float Day, it's a long tradition for Cornell, and I think it's actually a great thing. It's the one chance that the entire university can come together and hang out together and relax together and celebrate Cornell together. And I think that's very important, especially at the end of the year, especially after a long haul, for the mental health and well-being and the mandate that we have to create a more dynamic and vibrant community. You know, I agree with you. Float Day is, you know, the undergraduates spend way too much money. And I think it's completely absurd that they, you know, can have the power or they even feel like they need to wield the power that they can price us out of. But, you know, the reality is it's our one opportunity to work together. I think we need to make them an offer. And if they reject us, that's their loss.
The strategy deal of Float Day is ongoing and developing. I want to hear that. Okay, so sorry, 5 more minutes.
Not to keep the downhill here, but I guess another option, maybe just throw it out there, is that if they decide they don't want to let us pay for a partial day, we can just take that $350 and subsidize our own tickets. So if they're going to charge us, we can just take that $350 and have a pool of people who want to go to Float Day and just be on the cost they're going to charge us.
You've never seen money like, or flow like that from the student activity fee, and I'm concerned about equal access and a bunch of other things. What happens if we go through that money too quickly? We wouldn't know what kind of subsidy to put that. So it's certainly a possibility that we could write that sort of language in. I think that, however, the recommendation as it is right now is what we're going to say, and we have our fingers crossed that we can have productive conversations with Float Day programming board members and work something out. I think that we can, let's deal with issues like that as they come up. So thank you for it. Okay.
Have you ever considered increasing the percent of the fee that goes to the GPSA FC?
We certainly thought about it, and
Well, first of all, I mean, this year we're doing 35.1%, even though it needs to be at 35%. You might not think that's much, but I mean, it's a few extra $100, funds maybe two or three more groups. And we actually had some play that we could have put around, but we did decide to put that to DFC rather than to another group. But at the same time, if the GPSA feels that percentage should be changed, then it is within the GPSA's rights to change it. Our committee is working with, very few resources, as you can all see at this point, to try to put together the best funding package for the groups that have asked for money. Steve?
I'm just curious, how much money was the administration putting in
this
for?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
How much money was the administration putting in this project?
It varies. It varied over the past couple of years, and it could have been probably tens of thousands of dollars. It probably at one point was at $100,000, and the administration said, okay, students have to start paying for it more and more and more. And I think within the past two or so years, they've basically cut off, all administrative support.
It was over 2005.
And I should make it clear that that's direct support. There's a lot of indirect support that Cornell, provides for the
voluntary staff.
Basically, a huge chunk of our entire employee body basically has to volunteer for that day. It's pretty much a full volunteer. I was actually one of them when I was a graduate of residence on West Campus. That's also an indirect.
We can get that number for the GPSA if they need it. We have budgets going back to school day for some time. We're not sharing those budgets with people because they're confidential, but some numbers I'm sure can be gleaned from them without worrying about confidentiality. If the GPSA feels it's necessary to have that particular or specific numbers, they can make inquiries with us.
Two more minutes
of quick questions about CIMA or one of the other ones.
The problem with the edits and markers that they're very attached to the marketing plan right now, and it seems, would we have to volunteer to get some sort of effort-based approach to trying it as a grant for marketing strategy versus the ones they're using now, or do we have to take their work or whichever marketing strategy they want to use, we're going to get them the money?
The way that it works in the past and the way that I would personally advocate for is that we give these groups money and that their business operations sort of run as they feel are fit, because we are in very poor positions to start advising on marketing strategies or anything else, pricing the tickets, etc. Whereas they're sort of, business experts in that market. At the same time, we have given recommendations in the past that groups look at certain budget items and then decide maybe they could scale back in certain places or bring in consultants who've given recommendations, like talk to Johnson School members. We hear that there's a group in the Johnson School that would, look at your budget and then try to optimize and look at, how it's different than other folks that are in your market. So these are things that we can certainly put into to words that we tell these groups, but I don't think we usually mandate business operations. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Worth noting, Ms. C, that your executive and your communication committee are working hard on a newsletter that would reach all graduate professional students. Should that happen, I imagine Cornell Cinema might be in the last. That basically exhausts our time for questions. Thank you, appropriations. We have about a minute and a half left on the clock rolling for. Brian might have had something.
Yeah, sure. So for a while now, I've been interested in having grad students come together and create criteria for what we think excellence in advising, teaching, and mentoring graduate students would be, and administering an award to faculty who are exemplary in those ways. And so if anyone else would be interested in a project like that, I'd be really interested in talking to you. My email address is bta8, that's Bravo Charlie Alpha 8 at cornell.edu.
Are there any quick questions for Brian? If not, are there any further comments in open forum, or the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Marquise has moved adjournment. Is there a second? Seconded by Brian. Is there any opposition? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned at 6:59 p.m. See you next week. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.